on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a three-hour program, and we start hour number three. What's going on? Nice to have you here. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. I am Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. Really quickly, before I get to my next guest, your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. That phone number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. Now let me get right to my next guest. We are joined by a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports. Also a studio analyst for the New York Knicks, broadcast for MSG Network. As a player, he led Miami of Ohio to the Sweet 16 in 1999. He was the MAC Conference Player of the Year that same year. He was a second-team All-American. He was selected number 6 overall in the NBA draft by Minnesota in 1999. He went on to play a decade in the NBA, of course. I'm speaking of Wally Szczerbiak. Wally, it is always great to run you down this time of year. Thanks for making time for it. Wally, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Loving this tournament as always. A lot of craziness and a lot of chalk in some regions. So it's been a lot of fun.
Boy, that's the truth, right? All those things are so true. In fact, since you've spent so many hours in studio tracking everything going on in March Madness, Wally, let me open it up to you. What are your biggest takeaways from the first couple of rounds of the tourney?
I just think Purdue's dominance. You know, exercising the demons in the last couple of years, losing to FDU in the first round as a 16 seed, and then also losing to St. Peter's, the year before as a 15 seed. This looks like a completely different team. They obliterated the Utah State Aggies, who were the champions of the Mountain West in the regular season. And it seemed like they could have won that game by 60 if they didn't pull their foot off the gas, how well they were playing. They retooled their roster. They added some impact transfers. The freshman guards, Lawyer and Braden Smith, have a year under their belt and have gotten a little bit bigger, stronger, and more confident. And Zach Edey's even better than he was last year, and he was National Player of the Year. So it looks like there's a collision course between UConn and Purdue setting up in the national championship game with how good those two teams look.
We are talking to Wally Szczerbiak. So what about the defending national champs, UConn? They're the number one overall seed. They've won 9 in a row en route to the Sweet 16. How do you think this team, Wally, compares to last year's team as they get ready to play San Diego State in a rematch of that title game?
Well, they were a better regular season team, that's for sure. Last year's team struggled a little bit in conference. They lost, I think, 5 out of 7 games throughout the Big East slate. And they came in, I believe, as a 4 seed, winning the national championship. But then come tournament time, everything came together. They had a lot of NBA talent that's thriving in the NBA. And this year's team, I would say, is just as good. Maybe not as good as far as NBA talent on paper, but right now, the way those pieces click, the way they gel, and the coaching job that Danny Hurley has done has been absolutely outstanding. To get this team refocused after dominating and winning the championship last year, it's been pretty impressive the way he's gotten these guys to play every single night.
I agree. Wally Szczerbiak joining us. Wally, you mentioned the chalk. I mean, when you consider all the crazy results that we saw in the conference tournaments and even some upsets in the first round of the NCAA tournament, are you surprised at how chalky things were this past weekend?
Well, last year was the craziest tournament in my memory. How many upsets just continued to win. A school like Florida Atlantic, you know, continues to go on and make it to the Final Four. San Diego State, a team that, you know, really hadn't done that much in the NCAA tournament, and then all of a sudden they go to the Final Four, and the Mountain West as a conference hadn't done much either. They go to the Final Four. Miami comes out of nowhere and makes the Final Four. You know, I don't think there were any 1 seeds in the Final Four last year. I think it was just a crazy year all around. And, you know, this year I think it played out more similar, where you'll have a few upsets in the first round, but then when you think, let me ride with Yale again in the second round, let me ride with the Antelopes, you know, of Grand Canyon in the second round, and James Madison, you know, maybe some people pick James Madison to beat Duke, and it's like, no, that's not happening this year. This is kind of going back to where you have one or two crazy upsets in the first round, but then in the second round, the dominant teams start to win, and I think that's as a result. You've had a lot of chalk, and that's going to set up for a very good Final Four. We're going to get the teams that deserve to be in the Final Four based on how they played in the regular season, and they earned high seeds, and it looks like that's how the Final Four is going to play out.
Wally Szczerbiak breaking it all down. Well, you mentioned JMU and Duke. I was really impressed with James Madison coming in. I didn't think they'd necessarily beat Duke. At the same time, I thought they'd show up. I didn't think they'd get blown out like that. Watching Duke right now, have they gone to a level whereby you can say they are a legitimate national championship contender right now?
Absolutely. That team has a lot of upside talent, and I love the way John Shire's doing it. He's doing it with, some younger guys, that a great recruiting class, kind of like the old way to win in college basketball. And it puts a lot of pressure on your coach to mature your players quickly throughout the course of their freshman year and their younger years in college. And John Shire's done a great job of that. And then in the biggest moment, they played their best game. And I think that's what a lot of other schools and people feared out of Duke. When they put the pieces together, when they play their best, and when those young guys play up to their capabilities and their talent level, they're a scary team. And we saw that because they completely blew James Madison off the floor, a lot like the way Purdue blew Utah State off the floor.
Speaking of that, well, going back to Zach Edey for a minute, I mean, if you're Gonzaga, and Gonzaga's still there, but how do you think Gonzaga goes about, or how would anybody go about trying to contain Edey at this point, who's been absolutely dominant in the first two rounds?
Well, you have to hope you have a little bit bigger body than Utah State had. And there are some teams that do have a little bigger, but bigger bodies. The key is you got to, and I remember when I played against Yao Ming and Shaq, you got to kind of start making body contact with them at the free throw line. Just get in their way. So they just can't walk straight down to the block and just camp out and post up. Because once they turn their body, once they put their shoulders out, you can't get around them to get any deflections. You can't play them really on the high side because then they're just going to lob it up top and just catch a dunk or just catch it close to the basket. And then they're so big and wide that it's over. So the key is you got to try to get them a little bit off their spot. Instead of a 5-foot post up, try to get it to 8 to 10 feet. And then once they catch it out there, they're not going to be as effective. A lot easier said than done because you're giving away a ton of weight, a ton of strength, and obviously a ton of size. And I was just so impressed with the way Zach Edey was able to seal. It didn't matter how good the entry pass was. It could be a little off target. It could be from a bad angle. It's getting to him. He's going to catch it. And once he catches it, you better bring a double team on the pass, because if you wait, he's just going to turn and shoot right over and get a bucket, or he's going to draw a foul. And I love what Stan Van Gundy was saying yesterday. You can't keep fouling him. You can't bail him out. If he catches it low, you got to live with it, just a two-point layup or a two-point little three-foot hook, and just go back on the other end of the floor, put him in pick and roll, and hope that you can score a lot of points on them because he's out there on the floor. That's your only attack mode against him.
Talking to Wally Szczerbiak, breaking everything down. We've got a couple of more moments with him. Wally, in terms of you can't foul him every single time, when you look at Houston last night, they survive. I'm curious, and they advance. When you see them, what do you think? I mean, the fact that they blew that lead late and had to win in overtime, does that show you that they're vulnerable, or does that show you how tough they are and how much grit they have?
Combination of both. That team is a little banged up, and that's tough at this time in the year because obviously they intimidate teams, they outwork teams, they out-physical teams, and they play ultra hard. And that's how they, kind of just wear people down and wear individual matchups down. But right now they're a little banged up. They're not the most imposing team as far as size. Their guards are a little bit small. It puts a lot on Jamal Shedd. Listen, this tournament's all about surviving advance. But do I think they have the capabilities to win the national championship? I don't think so. If they were healthy, maybe, but the way they're banged up right now, it's showing a lot of concern the way Texas A&M was able to bully the bully, so to speak, a little bit in that game yesterday.
I think you're right. Wally, before you go, Shaka Smart has got Marquette back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2013. Great story. They take on a red-hot NC State team. Wally, how do you explain NC State winning seven games? Not just seven games, but seven of the toughest games at the toughest time of the year in 12 days to get where they are. How did that team throw the switch and turn it around?
Well, I think we underestimated the ACC a little bit, first and foremost. We're seeing how good that league is. Clemson, Duke, and Carolina have just rolled in the first two rounds. And then a team like NC State is playing against those teams in a league that didn't fare well in the non-conference. So as a result, they couldn't you know, just this, they couldn't build up an at-large resume because they didn't get a good enough good opportunities according to computers. But once their backs were against the wall, they showed how good their individual talent is. I love DJ Burns. I mean, he is must-watch TV. He has such a soft, feathery touch as a lefty. He's a huge human being, huge. But he just plays the game the right way. He's probably the best passing big man in all of college basketball, the way he reads double teams and kicks it out to his teammates. Then DJ Horn has been outstanding. Diarra has been great as far as a wing defender. He can really pose problems for another team's leading scorer. So they put it all together at the right time, and it's good to see. It's going to be a fun game against Marquette, but Marquette is also one of the most fun teams to watch offensively. We saw it against Colorado. They play pure basketball. They run great sets, and they can really score, and they have great scorers. So it's going to be a fun game and a good matchup.
So, Wally, one last thought. You got nice on TikTok. You rattled off your picks for the entire bracket in 43 seconds in a video. How are your final four projections looking after the first weekend?
The only one I'm missing is Kentucky. And I think a lot of people just believed in Kentucky when, you know, the meat and potatoes are not there, and that's the problem with Kentucky. So that's the only one I missed. I still have Tennessee alive. I still have UConn alive, and who's my other one?
Carolina.
I think I have Carolina still alive. So, you know, I still have three of the four, but, you know, that Kentucky one hurts because my daughter's a junior at Kentucky, and we were looking forward to meeting up at the Final Four and hopefully watching them play there.
So leave us with that thought. What's next for them and Cal?
Listen, we were debating that last weekend. A lot of people are calling for Cal to move on. It's a huge buyout. I just think Cal still gets elite talent. And you have to be careful what you wish for. I know that's a great job and all the resources are there. But, you know, when you kind of step back from a guy who's had a lot of success and everything, I mean, this team this year, if they didn't just not play well in one individual game, and, you know, the finger can be pointed at Cal, no question. He's got to get his guys ready to play against a team like Oakland. And you can't let Golkey go 10 for 20 from the three-point line. I just don't know if there's another better option out there. So I think the Kentucky Wildcats end up sticking with Cal for a few more years.
I'm with you on that one. Wally Szczerbiak, my guest. He is a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, also a studio analyst for the Knicks broadcast for MSG Network. Wally, really appreciate you. I know you got to be gassed. Well, no, you're fine. You're Wally Szczerbiak, but I know how much time you're putting in. Thanks for making time for us, Wally. Really appreciate you.
Oh, you're the man. We go way back to the college days and the rookie year days with Gary Wishart and our guys. So, I'll always be with you there, Jim. Good times always.
Means the world to me, man. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Wally Szczerbiak, it's true. We do go back to the college days. DJ always asks about Wally Szczerbiak. Like, my wife, Janet, well, of course, Wally is really handsome and really good at what he does. He was a really nice player. He is an unbelievable broadcaster, and he still looks like a million. So DJ is always like, what's up with Wally? Where's Wally? I'm like, he's right there. And he does NBA and college. This is how much range he has. Shooting the ball, rangy as hell. But he does the Knick broadcasts, and then he can come in here and break down the college game the way he just did. Not many guys can do that. In fact, you can count him on one hand. So, and it means the world to me that he said, we go back, because I did interview him as a player when they made that great run in 99. And he had them in the Sweet 16. He was a second team All-American, the sixth pick overall. Those relationships mean a lot. And he did get nice on TikTok. He rattled off every single pick for the entire bracket in 43 seconds. And after the weekend, he still has three of the four. And the only one he does not have is Kentucky. The Cats busted a number of brackets. Speaking of DJ, DJ drops this on me yesterday. DJ, because it is spring break, Logs is home from Boulder. DJ has already secured tickets to the Sweet 16 at the Crypt on Thursday. She and Logs are going. And she paid top dollar. She loves it. It's not, I mean, part of that is Rogan Loma's home. I want to do something. We need to do something together. But part of that is, with or without Rogues, DJ was going to the Sweet 16. With or without me, she was going to the Sweet 16. She would have found somebody. So she went to a site and she paid top dollar. She will be at the crypt. DJ's so funny. She hits me last night with, hey, can you explain something to me? What is San Diego State doing back east? Like, she wants to see the Aztecs. I'm like, that's the committee. That'll happen. Like, she wants to see who she gets to see. She's all about San Diego State because we have San Diego roots. Anyway, that should tell you what you need to know about my wife. I've told you many times, DJ, Dr. Jano, loves the tournament. All about the tournament. Before we had kids, and I would hit the Final Four every single year, she would come with me on the road, and we would go to the Final Four every single year, and she absolutely loved it. Loved everything about it. So with or without me, with or without kids, she is going to keep the party going, even if she has to pay top dollar for tickets. Good on you, DJ. Meantime, the other hot topic this morning at Rap Sheet on X, quote, the NFL has banned the hip drop tackle, source said. The competition committee was unanimous on it. And now everybody's freaking out all over again. Now everybody's playing or saying the same thing. What's next? Are we going to put flags on them? I'm just going to put myself out there. I'm going to give you a better hot take. Here's a better hot take than why don't we just put flags on them? Because every, you know what? That's not hot anymore. Every single time there's any rule change to make the game safer, the snap reaction is, why don't we just put flags on them? I guarantee the game will still be violent. I guarantee folks will still get hurt. I guarantee guys will get hurt every single Sunday. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Rome, we're not worried about that. We're worried about the refs not being able to call it.
They'll adjust. They can't call anything anyway, so what do you really care? What do you really care? The ref show is going to be the ref show always, no matter what. Add it to the list of things that they can't get right. They'll adjust by not adjusting. So what's your real problem? The game is boring. They can't do anything. They didn't ban tackling. They banned hip drop tackling, which to me, just with my eyes and my brain, looks more dangerous to me than the horse collar. They didn't ban tackling. They didn't ban lighting suckers up. They didn't ban violence. There was still, even with this new rule, I can all but guarantee there will still be a 100% injury rate in the NFL. Everybody who takes the field is still going to get hurt. Again, what is the problem here? What? They're not getting hurt enough, Rome. There could be so many more injuries, Rome. Yeah, and then the product will suck. This is the whole point. We want to protect our players. They're not trying to eliminate aggression and violence. They're trying to make the game safer to protect their product and the players. They did not ban contact. They will still wear helmets. They will still wear pads. They will still try to light each other up. So, we're going to ban the hip drop tackle for life.
I am banning Mr. Sterling for life. 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 Life.
It's a slippery slope, Rome. What's next? Blocking? Are you going to ban blocking? Are you going to ban tackling? No. No. Just the hip drop tackle unanimously from the competition committee. Y'all got a tremendous threshold for their pain, honestly. Because it looks like it would hurt. Universal take. One step closer. One step closer. They're all going to have flags. Hey, Jim, I'm not a gambler. But even I know the object is to win the bet. These CLB haters are such studs. I bet they drive around without seatbelts too. Ooh, what warriors. Signed Brad in the 360, cycling degenerate. Makes no sense to me at all. What, so it's not a win? I don't get my money because I laid the points? Last I checked, ATS, still really hard. It is really hard to win against the spread. And even if you want to kill people for playing the money line, they also make it really difficult for the money line to be attractive with that number. This is the whole point. They handicap it. They level the playing field. I will never, ever understand you tough guys saying how punk-like we all are for playing against the spread and taking the favorite. Because, by the way, those who make the lines are always right on the line. Hey, Rome, considering his interpreter's penchant for lying, does this mean that Shohei is not married? Hell yeah, there is still hope. Regards, thirsty, hopelessly single lady clones. Dawn on the Front Range.
More lady clones.
Yeah, well, at least Shohei announced that himself. So we don't need to worry about Ipe on that one. He made the announcement himself. Sean of Wichita, hey Rome, give Ipe some bleeping credit, for real. Just because he didn't actually attend UC Riverside doesn't mean he's not alumni. He did smoke a cig on campus once, signed the Sparrow. Always nice credit to see the Sparrow make an appearance on the show. It's been a minute. Abigail's in. Ipe is the new LaCap. Hey, Rome, what's wrong with lying about your credentials? Get off my boy Ipe. Regards, George O'Leary, one of the OGs. One of the first guys to get caught. At Page Skipper 282 writes, let's say Shohei did know about the debt, did know, and paid it off for his friend, but didn't make any bets himself. Can he still be in trouble? I don't see how he could be. It's still the other guy's lie in illegal activity. I think he can be, actually. I think he can be. It's one of the interesting questions, but I think that he can be because he's still, if that's what happened, he still wired money from his account to an illegal bookmaker. So, yes, he could still be in trouble even if he didn't make the bet, much less bet on baseball. It's why they disavowed the original story and said that it was massive theft. That's why the story changed. That's why his lawyer said no, no. But the money did come from his account. And the money came from his account in increments of 500 gur. Big money moving from his account. So did he move it from his account? Or did somebody else move it from his account? So no, the fact of the matter is, he actually could still get in trouble. Did he move the money from the account himself? Because remember, the first account of the account was that he didn't give him the money because he didn't trust him with the money. Therefore, he moved the money himself. That was the first story, remember? So, did he move the money? Or did he ultimately find out the money was missing? And if it happened over a period of time, how could he not know? Now, I understand if you have financial people and you have business managers and you're focused almost exclusively on baseball and you have somebody to handle all your money and you've got that many millions of dollars of money in your account and you're not checking your accounts, it would be possible that 500 can move and you wouldn't know. I believe that. I do. But do we believe that 500 would move and move and move and move until you get to 4 million plus? I mean, maybe. But it happened over a period of months, allegedly. So how much do you know? To answer your question, I believe the answer would be yes, he could get in trouble. Even if it was a debt that he paid off for his friend. You know, like you might want to make the argument that they were just naive. He tried to bail his dude out by paying down the debt, but didn't know. I mean, do we believe that Shohei was this naive? Maybe. That he didn't know. He thought he was doing his boy a favor by paying off the debt. But he was paying off the debt to an illegal bookmaker. Did he not know that gambling in California is illegal? It's one of the states where it's illegal. That's why he was dealing with a bookie. Did Shohei, if he did it, not know that? Or do you just disavow him from the entire thing and take him out of it? Oh, no, he had nothing to do with any of it. It was a massive theft. That's how you clear the guy. He knew nothing about nothing, and the money was stolen. He found out with the rest of us, just ahead of the rest of us. He didn't know the money was gone. He didn't know there was a gambling problem. He didn't know that there had been transfers for months. He just found out. That's how you try to keep your guy clear of all the grease. And Ipe has just been manipulating him and being dishonest with him the entire time, dating back to before he actually worked for him. You believe that? This is what I mean. It's all sketchy as hell. I don't know what to believe, but I know who not to believe. Ipe. Because he's already been caught in lies. And maybe Shohei, come to find out. We don't know yet. The feds are investigating. MLB is investigating. This is going to go on for quite some time. All right, let's get out. Big, fat, long segment right there. Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think that there is no way out? Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has helped over 35,000 families out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares, and they might be able to help you too. If you were misled into signing a timeshare agreement that is a lifetime commitment, if you were told timeshares, a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, you need to get the facts about timeshare cancellation. For over 10 years, Wesley Financial Group has been dedicated to helping folks out of a lifetime of debt by canceling their timeshares. So they have created a timeshare exit information kit that reveals how the timeshare industry actually works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley right now and they will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free. See how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. Once again, 800-761-0000.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for 40 unforgettable years. Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. Save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus powered by Intel Core processors and more. Save now at Dell.com/deals. Also a big day in the sense that the NFL annual coaches pick is out. We talk about that every single year. You know, you got a bunch of alphas slammed together, shoulder to shoulder, like it's some fifth grade elementary school picture. And it's always curious what they wear, how they look, how they show up for it, who doesn't show up for it, who thinks that they're better than that. You can almost always predict how certain guys are going to look. Like, you know, my dude Andy Reid is going to rock the Hawaiian shirt per always. And why not? Why? Because he can. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. But especially my guy, Big Red. And why would you change? That's the beauty of Andy Reid. Went from being a guy that couldn't win the big one to a guy presiding over a dynasty and one of the greatest coaches ever. And he's the same guy. Rocking the same look. So, of course, he did. There was one noteworthy guy missing. In the meantime, his boss was holding court with a notepad. Jarrah just getting more and more bizarre as time goes on. So I'm going to try and work that into the NFL's annual league meetings going on right now in Orlando. A lot going on. I already mentioned that many of you are all up in arms about the hip drop tackle being banned. Why that's such a big deal to all of you, I have no idea. Once again, the game will still be violent. Guys will still get hurt. There still will be collisions. They're not banning tackling. They're not banning blocking. They're not banning violence. They're not banning injuries. I can all but guarantee somebody will get hurt every single Sunday from now until the end of time as long as they play in the NFL. Somebody will always get hurt. Hey, how about this? Somebody will be seriously injured every single Sunday. Guys will still snap Achilles, tear up their knees, get concussed, get snot bubbled, get lit up. You're not going to not watch. Oh, that's it. I'm never watching ever again. They banned the hip drop tackle. Yes, you are. If you're that worked up about that, you got nothing better going on. All right, let's take a break. I've got a sports update coming up. You know what I need? I want and I need ATPs. Ask the pros. Ask me anything you want. Do it now. That's coming up. Also, open phones on the other side. 1-800-636-8686. Time for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here's the very latest. One last segment. Welcome back. It is not too late to get through. You have your phone number. Use it. You have the X platform. Use that at Jim Rome. You have an email that you can hit me up with, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We do have an ATP every single Monday. It is time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you get to submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. As you know, it's sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here are your ATPs. Hi, Jim. After meeting Larry David, is your opinion of him more favorable or less favorable than before? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. Hey, Bella B, you know what's favorable or less favorable? Your spelling of favorable. F-A-V.
I love when you talk hockey.
I love when you spell favorable, O-U-R-A-B-L-E. Bella, definitely more favorable. Who doesn't love Larry David? And my encounter with Larry David was legendary because he was exactly the way he is on the show. I met him at a party in Cabo years ago, and it was a big party, and it was a big to-do with a bunch of A-listers, and he was just kind of hanging out there by himself, and I kind of rolled up on him really casually, and he's like, he just started. Like, man, these things suck. I hate these things. I hate these things. It's just a bunch of people standing around that are really important, self-important, and, you know, then you got to be in a position where you got to talk to them, and you don't know what to drink, you don't know what to do with your hands, you know? It was great. Like, he was such a good dude about it, but he was so in character. It was almost like I stepped right into an episode of Curb. And that's another one of DJ's favorites. DJ's getting a lot of run on this program. She loves Larry David. And then you pass it on to the next generation. Our older son, Jake Rome, loves Curb. He's got that kind of sense of humor. So the whole fam loves Larry David. So to answer your question, Bella, all favorable, O-U-R.
Family.
Speaking of fam, Rome. I'm going to read this as it's written. Rome, the fam and I are spending 8 days in SoCal in early May. My first time there. Serious question. Disney or Universal for the kids? Signed, Jardy in NC. Serious question. Did you really write that, dude? Serious question. Serious question, Rome. Disney or Universal for the kids? Signed, Jardy in NC. Hey, serious question for you, bro. Did you really sign that Jardy in SC? Oh, so close. Almost got me. You can do... Thank you, Albie. You can do almost anything you want on this program. Virtually anything at all, except for like three or four things. That's one of them. Chuck, let me borrow you really quickly. You've tried to let this guy know that the JN, the references to the JN are not okay. What was his workaround?
Yeah, well, we tried to let him know exactly that you can't just email here as Jardian NC. So he made a new email address as Jardavius in Carolina. So that I guess we're supposed to say this is a real person whose nickname is just Jardian NC, which I guess that could also technically be self-gloss, but it's not. It's obviously a joke, and just making a new email address is not a workaround. We still can't use these emails.
Jardavius. Jardavius, you're not spending 8 days in SoCal. You don't have kids. You don't have a fam. And even if any of this is true, I don't give a damn. We're still not playing that game. And you know I'm not a Disney fan. You know I'm not about that life at all. I hate to say this. For the happiest place in the world, I've had some of the worst experiences of my entire life. I'm not even kidding. It definitely is not the happiest place in the world for me. I've brought my kids there when they were kids, and I had some of the worst experiences of my entire life. Things that have scarred me that, honestly, I should probably get therapy to try to work through. And then what? Universal. What happened at Universal? The Jungle Riot. The tour stop, remember? Universal City Walk. And then on top of that, what do I get? Somebody named Jardavius asking me the question. Hey, Jardavius, that entire question was a big, fat troll. Come on, man. Hey, dear Jim, how about this? With all the run Alvin has been getting, will there be a song written about him in the near future? Bobby in Arizona. You know how I would answer that, Bobby? Will there be a song written about Alvy in the near future? Given that there's already been like a half a dozen songs written about Alvin, yes, I think there probably will be more songs written about him in the future.
Not five.
How many songs, Alvin? Alvin has a catalog of his own. There's songs written about me. There's songs written about the jungle. And Alvin has, at last count, a half a dozen songs written about him. Homages, odes to him, starting with Jesus in Chicago.
And they try to play you out, but you know what this is here?
Man's game, bitch.
This ain't child's play, it's man's game. Peep the vocal cord. You can't fade my man Alvin, he's the master of the board.
Of course, the legendary Chad in Portland got nice.
Hey, he's only six. Alvin is a kid working for his dad, Jim Superstar. And through the years, a mama's boy, Janet put in the work, and now it shows.
Alvin says that was done
Alvin
before he had kids.
A great little lad, Alvin DeLauro, Jim and Janet are so proud.
Boy, that chorus is incredible. Then Ben and Driftwood jumped in with a song about Alvy.
Open the door, get on the floor. Alvy walking the dinosaur. Boom, boom, shakalaka-laka, boom.
Who could ever forget? Hey, play it for me, Alvy.
Play it for me, Alvy.
No, Dad.
Play it for me, Alvy.
No, Dad.
Play it for me, Alvy.
And that is.
And all the girls, I'm pretty.
Of course, Parody Larry was aware of all this, and there was no way he was going to be left out.
My name is Alvy. I work here behind the glass. If you self-gloss or state your name, you know I'm going to run your ass. If you hear something late at
that
night.
That sucks, like everything Larry brings to it.
No. You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop.
That's even worse than his normal effort. And then, of course, Manic Bloom.
Alvy, roll your tune.
Yeah. name's easy, dog. Little Alvy D.
Hey, Jim. You nervous right now, Alvy?
Yeah, sure.
Alvy, get closer to the mic. That's how that thing works. Check, check.
Slow down, roll, Alvy. This is incredible.
Because I got two jobs. One where I'm flipping them burgers. One where I'm turning them knobs. Got me an 87 Macro Papa factory rims.
Holy crap, that is amazing.
War, everything I do. War, everywhere I go. If you're lucky, you might see the famous Zorro DeLoro.
I mean, you talk about jungle, let it be. I don't think Lennon could have pulled that off.
Gated community fool. Gotta keep my kids back from all the punks at the school. You know I'm raising an army.
How do we not break this out more often? This is 2016.
When Rome is on my back, head to the microwave. Know how to push all his buttons, know how to make it my slave. See how I slam that door shut, see it do what I say. Serving up some tuna fish almost every day.
Alvy does what he wants, when he
That's
wants.
That's right, I'm Alvy. They call me Alvy.
They call me Alvy. They call me Alvy. My name is Alvy. That's not even good for like a jungle song. That's just a banger no matter what.
Shake it out, shake it out. Okay, you can still redeem yourself.
Okay, people, now slow down, hold up. Ain't it crazy how the origami fold up?
Yeah.
Piece of paper like
ain't it crazy how an origami fold up?
Do it all again.
Is that true, Alvy?
How you think I got a girly like my meal, son?
What in the world ever happened to these guys?
Everybody throw their hands up, think it was all just dumb luck. Look at my
dude, how hard did they work that? Manic Bloom, yo. That was incredible. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. Save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors and more. Save right now at Dell.com/deals. They call me Alvy. That was amazing. That's how you end a show. My thanks to Wally Zerbiak. Also, Illinois head basketball coach Brad Underwood. More of the same tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. My thanks to the XR4TI. Have a great day, clones. Thank you for listening. See you. We're out.